Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolkin Count is called Red Cosmic Earth, and it is the 13th day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell, and it is self-existing moon day 20. And there's a lot going on. You know, I'm a big fan of acknowledging Mercury retrograde, so that's where I want to begin. I want to honor and support any listener who is finding their life is aberrational in a way, because suddenly there is communication breakdown, technological breakdown, and mechanical failure. It's time when we might be spending extra money to fix our cars or other items in our household and our lifestyles that, you know, require upkeep, that are mechanical in nature. It's a time when it's hard to get technology to work, and by that I mean anything to do with computers, the computerized phone, that we may see glitches that are incredible to behold, because it seems almost fail-proof that we rely on these big conglomerates to get social media organized or stay in email connection. And it's strange when any of that suddenly deviates from the perfection, the automation we've come to expect. And simultaneously, that human failing is suddenly part of the orientation towards miscommunication and feeling disconnected. And I've been pondering that piece of it, because it's predictable that suddenly I'm going to have a car repair or a faulty water heater, that I might make seasonal adjustments here where I live. It's getting colder, and suddenly feeling ill prepared because there are things that have been not even under consideration for the entire spring and summer, but as we bear down on colder weather, darker days, it matters that the things that keep us comfortable work. So addressing all of that. But as I said, beyond that, I'm really reflecting on what it is about the retrograde that influences us to misunderstand each other, and how I personally roll with misunderstanding. So there's these two components. There's just the basic conflagration of straight communication, where that's up in the air and unreliable. And then there's the feeling state in responding or reacting to what it's like to feel misunderstood, or to, in our own way, not understand someone else. It mostly just hurts my heart to be in places and situations where there is a kind of conflict that seems completely related to the retrograde, seated in communication breakdown. And I find maybe another part that is on high currently is just wanting in futility to have everyone collectively agree that it's a difficult time to be understood, to have clear connection, to find things seamless. And as there are little flare-ups and there's disarray, you know, what it's like to not be able to say together or in tandem with another, like, you know what, I think this is just a retrograde issue. That's not to say that I don't have friends, relations where that becomes possible. But just, you know, dealing with strangers, dealing with business acquaintances, and also dealing with people that have different lifestyles and beliefs where they're not going to accord their interactions to influences that are celestial or cosmic in nature. That's really painful, surprisingly. I'm finding it surprisingly painful, just wanting to have this be corroborated or take it out of blame or people having to atone in any way for mistakes they make, to just say, oh, it's the time of making mistakes. My God, it's all right. Let's just band together because there's this great force. I guess the intention of a retrograde philosophically is to teach us that we are dependent on celestial forces. I mean, that's my perception. It's a time to be super reverent of how there are weird, unnameable, or inexplicable energies that alter their makeup out there in the cosmos, and then I'm affected, and wanting to, you know, not have to invent other excuses for why my car is breaking down again. I have an old car, 50 years old, and so there's almost like a remorse that I feel I have to bear in social situations. Like, yeah, of course your old car is going to break down. Why are you treating this like a mystical event? And I'll inwardly say, well, car runs really great, and then when it's retrograde, there's usually some upkeep, and that's a good time for mechanics to make money. I'm all about it, but it doesn't mean that I have like bad decision-making skills about what car I own. And that's just the example I'm willing to share here in our abbreviated time together, and you'll have your version. But I'm starting this segment of the podcast just trying to affirm that if you are a sensitive person who believes in cycles that kind of come from an imaginal place by other people's standards, they're skeptical, that I'm in agreement and accord with you that this time is a teaching, that we do have to surrender as humans, that we can't conquer everything. We may have invented the most incredible and far-reaching systems of communication and information gathering through this internet age and the vehicles that come with it, but it's perfect that there's times when we are almost thrown back to indigenous realities that we have to submit, because that act of conscious surrender, I think, is pivotal in any kind of spiritual seeking, which is foundational to me. I mean, I'm a human walking around in the world. I have human frailties. I have human dependence. But beyond that, for a long time now, I've sought to see that divine order is the background of any human experience, and it is completely divinely ordered to go through retrograde phases. I decided I would podcast at a time of the day when there was quietude in my environment, which is a house in a small city in Southern California, and it only took about 5 minutes of being here on the microphone before they began their elaborate buzz saw and hammering just, you know, adjacent to me in the next door. Neighbors have been building a house since the last natural time year. So I'm going to continue podcasting. I think this is an example of having submission and surrender be the theme, and I apologize for the sonic disturbance if it's something that's affecting your listening. It's really important to me to get this information, this moment in Mayan astrology out in the world, not just for you who might like listening, but for me who needs to hear myself attaching to these values. But again, I'm fully aware that besides living in a household with four lovely white dogs, I also live next to construction. And that's where we're at. So the Mercury retrograde moment will continue on well into what we call the month of November, and also the ensuing wave spell that begins tomorrow. The next one we're going to bridge today to White Mirror, and because I'm podcasting late in the day, that's where most of my attention will lie. I do think it's worthwhile to do some summary reflection on the Red Serpent time, especially because the way I experienced it is that Red Serpent had all of its momentum, and you know, it was self-evident through the portal run that is held within it. And that portal experience ended on Monday. I guess that would be November 4th. And the last portal was Blue Spectral Eagle. But something about the white planetary wizard peak of the Red Serpent wave spell, also a portal day, clearly, and then turning into the Blue Spectral Eagle, it's almost like the momentum of Red Serpent went full stop until White Planetary Wizard. And then White Planetary Wizard last Sunday, the 3rd of November, shifted everything out of a snake slithering along the ground, feeling ourselves really tied to sensitivities about what is happening earthwise, that we can't get a lot of air or loft in the Red Serpent time, shifted deliberately as we peaked in the Planetary Wizard and then took flight in Blue Spectral Eagle. So here, Red Cosmic Earth is 3 days after the last time I really felt consciously wed to the Red Serpent teaching. And I think that that was a little miscalculation on my part, that Red Serpent will continue, as with any wave spell, the tribe orientation, through the entire 13 days. And, you know, that we finish in Red Cosmic Earth on the Red Serpent wave spell is that reminder that we are back to Earth, or back to feeling what the Earth is living and breathing, and that there isn't much distance in the Red Serpent wave spell between the messages the Earth is imparting, the vibrations, its fluctuations. It's a living being, and I don't just mean like the Mother Earth metaphor, but truly the seismic activity and the way that seasonal change can also make its surface contract. It's very, very dry, and the rains haven't come where I live, and so to feel the Earth through a thin snake skin is to really come to terms, undeniable terms, with what it's like when things are extremely arid, parched, and what's going on with the other species that rely on the Earth for, well, for everything. This would be like the crawling insects and the small animals that burrow within it. They don't get to take flight, and they don't get to ambulate like a human can jump into some technologically devised vehicle, a car, obviously, a bike. They're much more beholden to what's happening right in their environment. And in the Red Serpent time, I think we're aligned with that vision. And a lot of us live in places on the Earth where things are either, in terms of climate change, really warming, or are thrust into pretty radical weather fronts. And so as the animal species that don't, you know, have dwellings that are, as we would say, man-made, react to that, I think we're in alignment with that right now. And we're still in alignment even when we take flight in Blue Spectral Eagle and come together in Yellow Crystal Warrior. That was Tuesday, yesterday, and then finally Red Cosmic Earth. We're enduring and transcending the teachings of the tribe Red Earth. And it's also a setup day, a bridge day for the White Mirror time. So Red Serpent, in reflection and summary, is everything I just described, that extreme sensitivity, and that it's localized to Earth, not air, that we're reptilian in nature in some way, so that we aren't cold-hearted and necessarily. It's seeming like a cruel sociopathic coldness. You know, it doesn't have to be that, although I think it can go there, but more the simplicity of perception, where we are looking at survival and how we can survive before we're looking at how can we love, you know, more deeply. How can our hearts influence us to feel warmth and also provide that to others? And I don't really think that that's coming in the white mirror wave spell. I think there's a continuum that's interesting, intriguing right now, that Red Serpent sets us up to be have a smaller circle of focus, and also to be sort of grounded, the way that we use that in English language. Like if you're in trouble, you get grounded. If you're a child, you might get grounded. You can't go out. You have to stay home. And then also, like, airplanes get grounded when they're not allowed to be in the sky. So in either case, the red serpent exercise in being grounded can mean, oh, I feel strongly rooted to the earth, and that is a byproduct of red serpent. But as much, it's a feeling, I think, of limitation, and it's healthy that we have a moment when that limitation is imposed, because truly it'll help us as we enter the white mirror time, which is an exercise in sacrifice. I'll talk more about that in a minute, that we have had our wings clipped, that we feel a limited focus, that we feel in some ways vulnerable enough that we dim our perception to how we can protect ourselves and not be too open or at risk. And that will allow us to experience the ritual time of white mirror, I think, with less ego, more humility, and also it's a more fluid entrance point to this act that we're to endure in white mirror, of feeling things like our heart being cut out. So, you know, I always, at the front end of the Zolk'in, we're in the first wave spells, red dragon, white wizard, blue hand, yellow sun. There's so much momentum in the beginning of a new 260-day cycle, but always present for me is that the center of the Zolk'in, particularly these finishing wave spells that take us to its middle, the midpoint being the 130th day, that there's work to be done, and it is the work of unwinding our human fixations and attachments to get more grounded, more basic, to look at other aspects of ourself that in our human evolution we may have outdistanced, but in our spiritual evolution we need time with the animal life and the mystical metaphors that are beyond human control. Some are kind of pre-evolutionarily beyond our control, like, I don't have higher mind, I don't have like the same kind of astounding visionary clarity that a human can adopt or access. I am in my lower chakras, I'm in my base instincts, I'm in concerns of hunger and survival, shelter, rest, being sort of like sleepy, like a snake can get when it's colder out. And then there are ways that a human is humbled by concepts like white mirror, where something in us is going to be sacrificed to the point of dying, and it is in order to create a channel to heaven. So let me endeavor to make that first pitch about the white mirror wave spell that's essentially upon us. I am going to cull from past experience and also a little premonition that might be entering my psychic space right now, but it is just a departure point. And then as we enter white mirror together and individually, we can add and subtract, but we can find new teachings, new information, because the time upon us is the teacher. I want to make that really clear. I think that you probably know, like, I profess to be some kind of teacher or interpreter of the cycles, because I understand, you know, the order they come in. I understand the shape they take in terms of momentum and energy surges. But I'm living the calendar with devotion, because each time I enter a new aspect of it, as described by the Zolk'in or the 13 moon wave spell, I am in beginner's mind, and I am here to learn and receive and understand anew and add to my understanding. And that's my fascination with natural time, is that it's not a book that you read and then you're done and you walk forward the memory of what you were taught. Instead, it's a living paradigm of teaching and truth. And it seems to really fixate on us coming into the present moment to be alive and awake to what is unfolding. Some of us, or you, I would say, I'm not sure I'm going to include myself there, can come to places like what we call empty mind or absence of attachment without having a living teaching to educate or attach to. Instead of being attached to outcomes, we attach to what's unfolding in the present moment. That works much better for me. I don't know if it's because I have a chaotic mind or an overly active mind or sensitivities that make me so porous that there's so much information pouring into my head that I need an organizing force rather than a vacuum. Like, I can't get rid of the activity in my mind. That seems to be how I'm structured. So instead, I train my mind to be in cycles and patterns that seem really objectively holistic to me and aligned with nature, hence the title at Natural Time. And when I preoccupy myself, at least part of my waking day, with these cycles, then my mind calms because it's ordered. And it's ordered divinely, I think, rather than ordered by my human expectations or expectations of humans around me. So, jumping into the white mirror wave spell, I talk about it being sacrifice, even though you don't see that in, for instance, Eden Skies. Her calendar is proliferate and very powerful, and the notable day calendar, wall calendar that allows you to move through the Zolk'in and 13 moon cycles. But I don't see that addressed in her literature. It comes from me from this understanding that the term white mirror is oriented to the original Mayan terminology of flint or obsidian, that flint and obsidian is a reflective surface that many indigenous cultures use so they could see themselves. And at the same time, it was notably used to make tools and arrowheads in, again, many, many original earth tribes. And yet it was really obviously in the Mayan culture used to make the one handheld blade or obelisk. You know, a handheld means the size of my palm, an obelisk with a sharpened edge that was used by the priest at the top of the Mayan pyramid, with a sacrificial victim laid out on a large, really large stone, just a rectangular stone placed at the top of the pyramids, which of course are many other rectangular stones. And at that very highest pinnacle, a human is laid out, their heart is cut out in one pretty violent, or we could say powerful, gesture by the priest. Their rib cage is shattered by the obelisk, and the obelisk, if one is skilled, can then just take the human heart out in one blow, one cut. And that heart is then offered to the crowds to show the evidence of the power of the ritual, and offered to the sky for blessing. And the soul of the human who has died in that gesture, in that ritual, rises to heaven to join the, what we might call angels or spirits of place that live in the ascended levels of experience. And it's a blessing to die in the sacrificial ritual, because life with the gods, you know, elevated in the heavenly realms, is preferable and honorable compared to a human experience. This is just the whole extent of my understanding of Mayan history. I do not dig deep to get the nuances and the intricacies. I took this mythology that I was offered through some point of study, and it just felt like it perfectly explains the white mirror time. And I don't need to know much more about Mayan history except to educate myself satisfactorily. It feels to my soul about each of the tribes that arises. So White Mirror is a time that maybe the Maya chose for human sacrifices, whether it was a White Mirror day or an extended 13-day period. But what we're learning about when we pass through this time is how to estimate this ancient Mayan ritual as having a role in our modernized current life. So some of the ways that I have felt, you know, my heart cut out of me is through heartbreak, you know, really the breakup of a relationship, the loss of human connection. It hurts my heart. You know, my heart feels shattered. We use some of the same language. And then understanding through the Mayan ritual and the White Mirror metaphor that any harm I feel, sort of the physical ache of loss, is going to create space in that same heart cavity for my sense of divinity to fill, to bond me with that realm where all the influence, heavenly influence, is fired down to us. You know, it's connective. And so we hurt, perhaps we hurt in the act of sacrifice where something is taken away from us that seemed important. We hurt in the process of coming to understand that we're letting it go so that we can feel deeper, more resonant, charged, and ultimately loving our energy or power coming to heal us. So we can look forward to this White Mirror time in two different ways. And I hope we can be reasonable to expect some of each, you know, not say, oh my God, this is going to be the worst 13 days. It's going to just be a feeling of deathly heartbreak. And also, no, this time that's coming up is just all about connecting to heaven. And that's my fixation. I mean, hopefully each of us can enter it with an allowance for some of both, that we will encounter sacrifices. I think when we pass a White Mirror day, just a 24 hours or the waking hours of a White Mirror moment, we can point out to ourselves like, whoa, that was where I just had like my heart cut out. And it might feel more like that was where I just had to give something up. It might not really feel like a heartache. It could just feel like, oh, I lost that. I no longer have it. That was taken from me. You know, whether it's something material or something emotional, it can be evident in one day's waking moment, like, oh, that was the sacrificial thing that I just lost. And over the 13 days, you know, we'll have nuances, we'll have surges, we'll have compounded sacrifice. But just please hold that strength that whatever you're losing, whatever is hurting, whatever you feel disconnected from in an earthen way is happening as an exercise in increasing faith, trust, and exposure to this vast heavenly realm that we find at the top of a Mayan pyramid. It is a grounded thing to go through Red Serpent Wave Spell prior. It is important to have that grounding because now we really are turning our attention skyward, both in fear and trepidation. We feel really distanced perhaps from humanity up there at the top of the pyramid, but also we're going to reacclimate to our spiritual lives and our spiritual connections after 13 days of Red Serpent that followed 13 days of Yellow Human. And then quickly, we have been in the third week of the self-existing moon. It's been churning. It's been emotional. It has felt transformational in the sense that things are maybe chaotic or in disarray, charged, intensified. Remember, the blue Western week is also like falling into the dream time, so things are non-linear, and we're emerging from that. In the next day or two, on Friday, we will enter the final week of the self-existing moon, and things are more solidified and physicalized, and that slows down the sense of chaos, upheaval, fast change, intense change. And the self-existing moon is asking us again to define the form that our service is taking for this natural time year, this 13 moon year. And so we have clear indicators, and they're going to become physicalized in some way, of what form of service we're meant to undertake. So all this hard work is worth it because we're getting a clearer picture of how our life is to evolve and how service is a fundamental role. And that's a relief to get all that down on tape. Thanks for listening. There can be more to read at resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In Lakesh.